Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome back to the Falcoholic Live. It's episode 279. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin, joined by two guests eventually, but for right now, we've got Gina Kelly at Gina Thomas on Twitter. Gina, it's been a minute since we've had you on. A lot has happened, but first, how we doing?
Really well. The last time I was on, I'm sure you remember, it looked like I was dialing in from the Shadow Realm, and I've sorted out my lighting, so all good over here.
Excellent. Yes, always good to be out of the Shadow Realm, as we often say on here. But speaking of the Shadow Realm and North of the Wall, we do have right on time Dave Choate also joining us. Dave, we all know Dave is a wizard. He arrives precisely when he means to, right when the show goes live. Timing is impeccable. Dave, how are we doing today?
Great. Glad to be here right on time. I thought I was late.
Well, we did wait a few minutes, to be fair. But yeah, we appreciate you, Dave. Yeah. Appreciate everyone for coming to hang out with us. We got a lot to get to tonight because I, of course, had my vacation week fall in free agency. It doesn't always happen. Every once in a while, it gets to be that weird week where it overlaps with free agency. And you guys have not had a lot of shows. So we got lots of shows coming your way this week. And we are going to get into this Falcons free agency. Very busy first week with the Falcons getting arguably the top free agent. NFL.com certainly believes that he was the top free agent in the NFL. And that is, of course, Kirk Cousins and a bunch of wide receivers coming into the fray as well. So we're going to get to all that great stuff. Before we do, real quick, guys, I'm going to bring you a word from tonight's sponsor. It's betonline.ag. And guess what, guys? March Madness and the tournament is here, and BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there, as well as the odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship itself. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. So what are you guys waiting for? Head over there to BetOnline today to get in on all the action. Just remember, when you sign up, to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's B-L-E-A-V for your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Guys, BetOnline, the game starts here. All right. So we have gotten to Kirk Cousins. I talked about it a lot on my solo show on Monday, so I'm definitely interested in getting you guys' perspectives on this signing, because it's a big one. It was pretty much foretold. It really picked up, I think, after the combine in particular, the sort of the buzz the Falcons were going to be getting Kirk Cousins, and it came to fruition pretty much immediately, maybe a little too soon, depending on the NFL. I guess we'll see what they say about that. But Gina, you were here first, so I will give you the first crack at Kirk Cousins. So what do you think about the signing? I mean, it's obviously a big deal for Atlanta's fortunes over at least the next few years.
It is. I think back to Super Bowl week when I was interviewing Matt Ryan, and I said something to the effect of Matt Ryan's not walking through that door this offseason. And he said, you know, maybe he will. And I think that Kirk Cousins is about the closest that you can get. That's why he was the top free agent on the market. Yes, he's getting up there in age. But that's ridiculous for me to say. I think I'm, you know, 12 years older than he is, but he's getting up there. And I completely understand the hesitation around the Achilles recovery. That's a hard injury to come back from. All of that said, he's still been playing at a very high level over the past few years. And I mean, I feel much more comfortable going into the season with a known quantity behind center, somebody who is a very experienced veteran, somebody who's been playing at a high level for a long time.
Yeah, it definitely makes the most sense if the Falcons were looking for a proven quarterback that they wanted to win immediately with. And I think this does obviously move their timeline firmly into the win now window, because we've got two affordable years of Cousins on this deal. And I'm sure we'll talk about the contract a little bit more as we get into it. But before we do, want to get your take too, Dave. I know it's been a long time since we've had good quarterback play. Do you think this could be the ticket finally to some competent quarterback play?
I think it is, right? And I think that's what they were ultimately after is competence. And competence is not, you know, sexy necessarily, although I guess it depends on what you're talking about. But I'm not going to call Kirk Cousins sexy on the show.
But, you like that. Yeah.
But the level of play, like, we know, you know, we saw what Matt Ryan was doing toward the tail end of his career. The Falcons clearly think in this scheme with Cousins, you know, fully recovered as we hope he is going to be, that they can get something a little bit north of that with a much better supporting cast than sort of, you know, late career Julio and Russell Gage and so forth and Austin Hooper. So I Hayden Hurst, I guess, but you know, to me, this is paying a premium for the next couple of years, and they're really not paying that much over the next couple of seasons to get a guy that they think can have a similar effect to somebody like Matthew Stafford with the Rams, you know, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a similar scheme, a player who is not necessarily a one-to-one comparison, certainly more apples and oranges maybe, but good enough to play at that level with a great supporting cast, with a coaching staff that believes in themselves as much as this one does. You're paying basically to say, to hell with developing a third round pick, you know, let's not take a chance that quarterback is going to drag us down even in a developmental year for a rookie. Let's get somebody who can play at a high level right now. And so, you know, that's the bet. Do I love it over the long haul? Do I love necessarily, you know, passing up the chance to get one of the top quarterbacks in this class? No, I don't. But I also understand how difficult it would have been to get up there and get those guys. So considering your options, considering who is coaching this team and sort of what they're looking for in a quarterback, I do think this was a pretty much perfect fit this offseason, this team, this player.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And that's, I think, the big crux of this move, which is that they weren't really in a position to get one of the top three rookie quarterbacks. And even the fourth one is probably going to require a trade up at this point. I mean, it seems like we're getting to that point where we see the Vikings loading up on first round picks, possibly to get the fourth quarterback in this class. And, you know, I know there's a lot of JJ McCarthy fans out there. Apparently the NFL is way higher on him than even I thought. I mean, but it's kind of wild to me that we're talking about this, but that's quarterback in the NFL. And that's what I think we tried to communicate to people this offseason, was there's two types of teams in the NFL. teams that have a quarterback and teams that don't. And the teams that don't, you basically can ignore every year. They're not really going to be competing. It's very rare that you see a team without a quarterback get to the playoffs, and much less often that they get to the Super Bowl. I mean, you look at the 49ers, they're kind of the exception to the rule, right? They've been able to get by with sort of randomness at quarterback. They made Jimmy G into a Super Bowl quarterback. They made Brock Purdy into it. The 49ers are not the rest of the NFL. We know Kyle Shanahan's the wizard of getting to the Super Bowl and losing, unfortunately for Kyle Shanahan. But that strategy works for them. It doesn't work for everyone else. And so the Falcons, in the situation they were in, they clearly felt that if they didn't go for Kirk Cousins, that they were going to have a pretty good chance of just not getting a quarterback at all. And that's unacceptable. And it's not something that the fan base would have tolerated. I know everyone likes to pretend that they would have been fine with a wait and see season, but about 3 weeks in, when Desmond Ritter's 0-3 and it's getting really dark, I think people would have been a lot less happy with that arrangement than they thought they would be going into the season. I know, I was preaching like patience for many years, and I'm over it now. There's no more patience to be had, and I think the front office feels that way as well. But let's talk about the contract, because it's very interesting the way it's structured. It was reported as a 4-year deal, but it's basically a 2-year deal with 2-team options, and the 2-team options are very expensive years, but it does give the Falcons options if Cousins is still playing great that they could potentially extend or whatever. But it is 2 years fully guaranteed. So Kirk Cousins like isn't healthy, then you're in trouble. But if he's good or great, then you're probably pretty happy, because he's under contract for $25 million this year and $40 next year, which again, that's like this year, that's cheap if he's a top 10 quarterback. Next year, that's about market rate. So, and going into 2026, you could move out of that contract and save over $30 million. So you're really not on the hook past these 2 years, unless you want to start doing contract shenanigans and restructuring and all that, which also theoretically could be an option. But Gina, what do you think about the timeline that this contract sets? Do you expect it to be a 2-year deal, or do you think he could potentially stick around longer, or is this like a bridge situation? You know, long term, I know there are a lot of concerns about the move. So what do you think about how this deal sets the Falcons up going into the future as well?
I mean, I think that the Falcons put themselves in a really great position. There's no contract in the NFL that a team can't wriggle out of. They are written that way for a reason. So I really have no issue with the way that with what they're paying him, the guaranteed money or anything. I mean, you have to be realistic about the market rate for a quarterback. And people have told me, well, it's going to correct. Well, it may be in the future, but it has not course corrected yet. So this is just what a decent quarterback costs. I mean, you know, I would much rather the team spend that money than have to watch another second of a Falcons offense that makes me want to crawl into a hole every time they take the field. Small price to pay for my enjoyment.
A small price to pay for salvation. Yes, no, I agree. And I think it's very interesting the way they have it structured. And I do think that it does set them up for an interesting conversation to potentially be had about, do you draft a quarterback? Because they've traded Desmond Ritter, and I'm sure we're going to get to that as well. But let's keep going a little bit here. I do want to give a similar question to Dave, maybe with a little bit of a different spin. But, you know, we've seen a lot of very fluffy and positive reporting about the Falcons that I'm not accustomed to, at least not in recent memory. And a lot of it has to do with Kirk Cousins. So, you know, talking about the timeline, we've got Cousins for 2 years, pretty much ironclad. It could be more. The big question is this year. Is Cousins going to be ready for week one? How much is that Achilles going to affect him? And, you know, in one of these two crucial years of this contract, particularly this year because it's the cheapest year, Dave, what do you think about Cousins being ready for week one? I mean, obviously we haven't heard anything ironclad about his status at this point, but what's your level of confidence that Cousin will be able to start the season?
Pretty high. If there's no setbacks, pretty high. I think that is something that the Falcons are banking on. I don't think if there was any doubt that he'd, you know, be available this season and good to go, that they would have had some level of hesitation about bringing him on. Because again, to me, the objective is win now, which is really funny because I think when Raheem Morris was hired, a lot of Falcons fans said, well, maybe this team is taking more of a long-term approach. Belichick would have been the win now hire, but I don't think Raheem Morris, who had to you know, work for well over a decade to get back into the head coaching ranks, despite, I think, probably earning a shot at that earlier than this. He does not want to, you know, wait another season to win. Terry Fontenot does not want to wait another season to win. You know, there are certainly jobs, not this year, but on the line long term, if you can't put this thing together. So to me, in a roundabout way, getting back to that, Cousins will be ready for week one. Whether he's totally 100% in week one or not, I don't know. Do I have any doubt he'll be out there on the field and he'll play a full complement of snaps and this offense will just lean on the run a little bit more if they have to? Not really. Again, it's just as long as he does not have any setbacks, which would be a nightmare, and a nightmare we should probably just in the back of our mind.
That'll be very familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a familiar nightmare. You know, to me, yes, they're counting on him being out there week one. I fully expect it to happen. Yeah.
I agree with you. And yeah, I do want to kind of fold that into a discussion about Taylor Heinicke sticking around, which wasn't a free agent signing, but I think it was almost assumed by me and many others that were looking at the cap situation that Heinicke was going to be a cap casualty because his savings was so high and his cap hit for his level of play last year was relatively low. But the Falcons keep him around. They let the bonus accrue, so he's not like safe necessarily. It's not like the bonus like changed things drastically. I mean, it's another $1 million, so it makes the savings a little less striking. But you know, I think to me it seems like a vote of confidence in Heinicke that, you know, they're basically like, well, the Falcons passing game last year was just awful, and we're not going to blame Heinicke necessarily for his play in that scheme. Obviously they're not giving him total credit for it either. Like, oh, well, we don't view you as a starter or something, but it seems like they're willing to overlook a down year for Heinicke, but, and think about him as a very quality backup quarterback and even spot starter based on the amount of money that he is making. I mean, he's making more than Jacoby Brissett this year. So, Gina, I'm curious what you think about Heinicke sticking around, and do you feel good about having him as the backup given Cousins, you know, season ending injury and the potential that he might not be able to start the season?
Good after what we saw from Heinicke in his starts last year would be a massive stretch for me. Do I feel good about it? No. Do I think that he could be more effective with better coaching? Yes. And I think that the Falcons did bring in the right coaching personnel this offseason to give the team the best chance. But no, the idea of going into the season with Heinicke as a backup still makes me extremely, extremely nervous. Especially, like you said, given Cousins' recent injury and his age.
Yeah, no, it's fair. And, you know, I'm still a little bit surprised that they didn't sort of see what else was out there. But, you know, they kept so much of the coaching staff intact, especially on the offensive side. And, you know, obviously TJ Yates moves to quarterbacks coach from wide receivers coach. So there wasn't really a quarterbacks coach. It was Dave Ragone sort of being the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, which is kind of a joke to me because I don't know how you could possibly have time to do both of those jobs at the same time, but I digress. You know, I'm done dumping on the previous regime. I'm over it clearly. But TJ Yates was obviously here for Heinicke last year. Wasn't necessarily coaching him directly, but you know, they do keep him around. So to me, that leads me to believe that maybe Yates and the coaching staff feel that it wasn't entirely Heinicke's fault and that they do want a veteran in here to back up Cousins. And honestly, Cousins has been remarkably healthy throughout his career. This is not a guy who's missed much time at all. It was a weird injury for him. He's very similar to Matt Ryan, that he just is one of those guys that just knows how to take a sack. Like, and there's just those quarterbacks that are like that. So I doubt that's likely to change. Like this Achilles injury, we all know it was kind of a freak thing. I mean, that's not really, so I'm not super concerned that Cousins is going to miss a ton of time. It's just how early will he play? And they clearly view Heinicke as a reliable spot starter if Cousins isn't ready, or if, you know, somebody has to come in. And it's also, I think, a sign that they do view themselves as a true contender for the playoffs at minimum, because you don't spend big on a backup quarterback if you're not worried about making the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see. I also don't, you know, with the team trading Ridder, which was maybe the other big surprise in terms of the moves, they have opened the door for a rookie quarterback too, whether that's someone relatively early in the draft or later. I'm not sure. There does seem to be certainly a lot of buzz around Spencer Rattler at this point. you know, he's not a guy that I love, but the traits are there. So if they want to take a swing on a developmental guy, it makes sense to me. But yeah, Dave, I'm curious, do you think they are potentially going to look into adding a rookie quarterback in the draft at some point?
That's my hope. You know, I wouldn't say with confidence, yes. I do think that the way that this, you know, contract for Cousins is structured, where you would have to take a big hit in 2 years, you still save a ton of money, but you take a big hit and then a much smaller one, suggests that maybe you want to have your long-term guy there. I know a win now football team isn't necessarily going to think about the future, but there's some intriguing quarterbacks that hopefully will be around on the second day of the draft. And my hope is that, yes, they are looking at that. And I think it's also worth looking at Heineke's contract situation. The bonus suggests that he'll be staying, but until I see them, you know, potentially restructure his deal to free up some room, I'm going to have it in the back of my head that he's here in case they don't get a rookie, but he could still be cut if they do get a rookie to kind of free up room for the draft class and maybe a couple of lower tier signings. So I think until we see that restructure that says, you know, Taylor Heineke is here this year, we're going to free up this room because we want to chase a free agent, I'm going to still half believe they're just waiting to see what they can get in the draft. And again, I hope that's the case. It has been such a long time since the Falcons had a long-term plan at quarterback. And I am not really counting Ritter because of the way that came together and worked out. Maybe, you know, it was a long-term plan. It wasn't obviously in hindsight a very good one. So hopefully, you know, having somebody come in, sit for 2 years behind Kirk Cousins, learn the ropes and be ready to step in, that sounds much better to me. That sounds like what I was hoping they might have done with somebody with Matt Ryan back in 2020, 2021.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. Because I think the Falcons do need a long-term plan at quarterback. I think that's pretty clear. And obviously Kirk Cousins is a 2 year plan with the potential for more. Those are pretty much team option years. And it's definitely interesting to see what they do with Heineke, because again, like, he has over a 9 million cap hit this year. So it seems like if they're planning on him being the backup long-term, that they would, you know, potentially consider extending him or adding void years to spread that cap hit out a little bit. You know, we'll see. But yeah, you bring up a good point there. And, you know, this is a class with some intriguing guys in it, right? You know, Spencer Rattler, again, he's very polarizing, but I could see teams wanting to take a gamble on him on day two, like late on day two, to see if he could turn into something. I think Jordan Travis, obviously from FSU, has a lot of fans. He's not going to be able to play anytime soon, but, you know, you certainly like the talent that you saw on display there. And you could also potentially look to next year's draft, which is completely wide open. But, you know, they have the flexibility now because of the Kirk Cousins move, that they don't have to feel forced into anything at quarterback, where if they didn't get Cousins, they were going to be scrambling going into the draft. Because, you know, look at the Broncos, look at the Raiders, and look at the Vikings. All three of those guys are now left kind of holding the bag, wondering, like, okay, what are we doing at quarterback? All three of them are going to potentially be scrambling up to try to get the fourth quarterback in this class. Maybe the third quarterback becomes available. I don't know. I think it would be foolish of the Patriots to not take the third quarterback, but you never know. Weird things happen, right? But it's definitely interesting, and I'm glad we're not in the sweepstakes of, well, we're going to pray that a trade materializes, or we're going to be starting a backup all year, because that's kind of the situation that you'd find yourself in, and I don't really want to play that game. But let's talk about the second biggest move, and that's bringing in Darnell Mooney, who I was always interested because I thought if they brought in Fields, Mooney would obviously be a logical candidate to join the team because of the experience there. But apparently Kirk Cousins wanted Darnell Mooney, so it all works out the same way. Obviously a speedy guy, but Gina, I'm curious what you think about the addition of Mooney. I know that basically the money seems to suggest that they view him as a wide receiver two level player. What do you think about him potentially being that for Atlanta?
You know, I'm really excited about it. I mean, they already have so much skill position player talent on offense. So giving Cousins another weapon just makes me feel more confident that this offense is going to be a little bit dangerous next year.
Yeah. No, he's a very interesting player. not your typical wide receiver two, right? Very small, very light. That the NFL does seem to be more accepting of players at his weight now, like in the 170s. It was almost unheard of a few years ago, but now you even got some guys in the 160s like Tank Dell, Xavier Worthy, who just broke the 40 record at the combine, also in the 160s. So the NFL is finding more ways to utilize these players. And Mooney, obviously, speed demon, great separator, never really was utilized to his full advantage in Chicago. You know, I think we could be honest about that. But yeah, I wonder, because he played quite a bit in the slot and outside, I wonder if he'll have a permanent home or if he'll rotate back and forth. But Dave, I'm curious what you think about Mooney coming in and potentially being that sort of speed separator combination to the more physical style of Drake London.
I think that's what you're looking at with Mooney, and I think it's the kind of signing they needed, right? We've seen, even these last couple of years, some of the more successful and memorable plays for the passing attack anyways have been to your speedy guys, your Scotty Millers, your Demier Birds, you know, et cetera, who don't get much run or didn't get much run in the Arthur Smith offense. But nonetheless, you could see the potential with the other weapons you have on the field for a guy with that kind of game-breaking speed to do things downfield. And I think taking Mooney out of a situation where he was not a priority target, where I saw a metric recently that, you know, the downfield completion percentage to him on target balls was pretty damn low, and he's not going to have that problem with Kirk Cousins. And he's going to be playing, you know, surrounded by Giants, by Drake London, by Kyle Pitts, by these compelling weapons that you have to account for, you know, in the intermediate areas. Like, to me, that really says you can let this man run. Kirk Cousins can get him the ball. We're going to see some game breaking plays from Darnell Mooney. So, you know, his history of production, you know, suggests that it's maybe he'll be a little bit boom or bust. Maybe we're not going to see 8 targets a game. We're not going to see consistently huge production from him. But I do think that the offense is going to be a better fit for him. The whole usage and plan for him is going to be a better fit for him. And he's sort of an ideal wide receiver too for London here. So I think it's a really good signing. I know there's some fear that maybe you're overpaying a little bit for him, but, you know, considering, again, he's kind of signed for 2 years and then nothing's guaranteed. I think he's a Cousins target through and through. And if he's going to succeed, it will be here in this situation with this quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's obviously a better situation for him to come into an offense with a very accurate, established quarterback that, like Kirk Cousins, that's going to be able to efficiently get the ball out and get it on target better than Justin Fields. You know, one thing you can say about Justin Fields, while he would launch that thing up there and did have some great plays with Mooney, it wasn't always the most accurate football. That was something we talked about at length with Fields, and that was something he was going to have to work on. But Cousins, known for his accuracy, his timing, his ability to throw the middle of the field, and I wonder if that's sort of an area where we'll see more from Darnell Mooney than he showed in Chicago, potentially using his speed to separate, you know, over the middle and stuff like that. But very curious to see how he's deployed. You know, to me, it's the question is not whether he'll be an effective receiver in Atlanta. I think he certainly will be. I wonder if he's the guy you want playing wide receiver two long term, or if you're sort of hoping that he could be like your high end wide receiver three, where he's like a plus there. I don't know if he's like a plus wide receiver two. I think he's a very capable one, but that's semantics, you know, it really probably depends on what the Falcons want to invest at the position, because they're going to have to pay London sooner or later. And this is a deep receiver class. We could see, you know, a receiver added at 8. We could see one added on day 2. I mean, it probably should add multiple, even though they signed all these guys and added all these guys. I mean, it's a great class. Take your shots where you can, but definitely interested to see if he's more of a slot guy or more of an outside guy. The way it seems to be constructed now seems more like outside will be his home, but we still got the draft ahead of us. And we also have another addition via subtraction with Desmond Ridder going to the Cardinals, the Falcons getting Rondale Moore. And Dave, I'm curious what you think about this one. This one was totally out of left field. I did not see Ridder getting traded at all. Certainly didn't see Rondale Moore coming to Atlanta. Moore, such an interesting athlete, one of the best athletes at the position in the NFL, ran like in the low 4.3s, had all these crazy... I mean, I think he jumped like 42 and a half inches at like 5'8". I mean, that's absolutely absurd. I feel like he jumped twice his height or something, but curious what you think about Rondale Moore coming in and where he could possibly fit into this offense.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting player because, you know, where you had Cousins, you know, saw Mooney and obviously was interested in him. You have to remember that Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake had to defend Rondale Moore, and Zach Robinson certainly saw him firsthand. So this is a guy that, you know, we can talk about Ridder in a little bit and his value and so forth. But the Falcons clearly decided to make this trade for Moore. Like, that's the reason. They're not looking to give Ridder necessarily the best landing spot, although I'm sure that's a factor. But to me, Moore is a guy who, again, was maybe a little bit underutilized. He's got some versatility. He's worked effectively out of the backfield. He can definitely return, even if he's not a high-end returner. And he has that speed. He has that speed and that athleticism that make him really intriguing. And he sort of benefits in the same way Mooney does, but maybe even more so, because you have Mooney as a target on the outside. You have to respect his speed. You have Pitts. You worry about Pitts. You have to worry about London. You throw Moore on the field. Maybe you move him around a little bit, give him some interesting looks. He has that kind of speed to be a lethal weapon situationally. And I think initially that's what you're looking at for him. He's, again, not going to be necessarily a volume guy in this offense, but as a big play threat, he's a really intriguing player. And he's somebody, again, that I think Raheem Morris and company took a look at, you know, and said, this guy was a little bit of a nightmare maybe for us to match up against just because of that speed, because of what he can do. Let's see if we can put that to work for us. So I am really intrigued by him despite the lack of production because of the way the team clearly went after him and sees a role for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the wild card of the group, where I could see him having a very minimal role depending on if they draft somebody, or he could be the starting slot receiver and play a lot, because we know how much the Rams offense featured the slot receiver. And with his athletic profile, you obviously believe he can do some short stuff. He can do screens. He can do gadget type stuff. He did some stuff in the backfield a couple of years ago. And honestly, he was almost on a 1,000-yard pace a couple seasons ago before he got hurt 8 games in. Was really having a fantastic season. So clearly the Falcons took notice of that and are betting on him being healthy this year. And obviously for $1.6 million, you know, that's a great bet to take. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Gina, what do you think about Rondale Moore? Do you think he might even end up being a starter for this offense when it's all said and done?
I mean, it's hard to say just because they have so much talent. But I do think that he has the potential to be a game changer just because of that speed. And, you know, I think that the more targets Kirk Cousins has to work with, the more likely it is that, you know, one of these high-end athletes like Bijan or Kyle Pitts or London are going to be getting open more easily. And so, yeah. Like you said, having to respect his speed just adds another wrinkle for opposing defenses that I think is going to be really challenging. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting because I feel like they've got some archetypes that they can draw on now where they've got a lot of guys that can play the slot. So Drake London, we know, played a lot of power slot at USC as well as being outside. Kyle Pitts played a lot more in the slot last year, even though I'm not sure that's long-term his best spot, but it's definitely something that he can do. Rondale Moore obviously played almost his entire career in the slot. Darnell Mooney played about the same number of snaps in the slot as he did outside last year. So they have a lot of guys that can play the slot and play outside or play in line in Kyle Pitts' case, or in Rondale Moore's case, much like Bijan, he could go in the backfield and do some stuff like that. So they are assembling, I think, a diverse group of offensive weapons that can do a lot of the same things and can rotate. And I think that sounds good on paper. I hope it works better than the last positionless offense stuff that we got from the previous coaching staff. I said I was over it. I'm not, apparently, but it's going to be interesting to see. And I do want to address it real quick before we move on to the rest of the moves and then some of the remaining needs. But a lot of folks seem to think that the Falcons are done at receiver, that we're not going to get a big addition in the draft at receiver, or they're not going to really worry about the position anymore because they added Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore and Ray McLeod, who we haven't talked about yet. I would caution you that is not the case. Like, I think people are overreacting to these signings. Obviously, Darnell Mooney is a big one. Darnell Mooney and Drake Leonard are the only receivers under contract past this year, period. So these are short-term moves that could pan out, that the Falcons could elect to pay and keep around or whatever. But this is not solidified. I don't think the team is trusting that Rondale Moore is just going to become a reliable starter. I think they're hoping, obviously. Ray McLeod is very much a depth receiver and a return specialist, not really a starter. So, you know, maybe CFL legend Austin Mack comes in and seizes a starting role. I think, you know, Kadarrell Hodge, we know he can back up. But they do need, I think, a high-end wide receiver, too. I think they would like to add that player. And I think they need to strongly consider Malik Nabers or Ruma Dunze if they're there at 8. I mean, obviously, the need at edge is pretty drastic at this point. We'll see if anything else happens. But I do think that people shouldn't forget that wide receiver is not just off the table now because they addressed it in free agency. It may get pushed down the board a little, especially if we don't see any moves at edge. But we'll see how that goes. But Gina, I know you have to take off. I appreciate you coming on, guys. She's Gina Kelly at Gina Thomas on Twitter. Anything else before you sign off, Gina, for us?
No, actually, I have not been working on anything that anybody should read. I have been working on stuff, just nothing to read. I do have a feature coming out on SBNation.com in May for Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm talking to several former players who are now mental health advocates. So look for that around the 1st of May on SBNation.com.
Yes, absolutely. Check it out, guys. And Gina, thanks again for your time tonight. Have a great night. Thank you. All right, Dave, it's just you and me now. We're in the Thunderdome here on the Falcoholic Live. But yeah, curious what you think about, you know, the wide receiver now, because we added a lot of guys. We added in Ray McLeod as well, who I think is more like Avery Williams insurance than anything, in case Williams is still recovering from his injury. But what do you think about this receiving core? I mean, do you feel good about it? Do you feel like they still do need to add in the draft? What are your sort of thoughts on the state of this group now?
Yeah, I think it depends on how are you using Kyle Pitts, right? Like, to me, that is a big question mark, because if you're intending to use Pitts effectively like another wide receiver with some versatility, and Charlie Warner is really going to play a lot as like your quote-unquote starting tight end, and he's out there for his blocking acumen, you know, Pitts and London and Mooney, it's a pretty strong trio, right? So maybe you can fudge it a little bit and say, you know, we think we're going to get some good things out of Moore. We know Hodge can do, you know, what Hodge can do, which is block well and occasionally go nuts as a receiver.
Yep.
And then you have McLeod and maybe Mac as insurance. Like I can see them talking themselves into that. Should they do that? I think it's another situation like with quarterback where I'd rather have the long-term plan. As you've said, and many others have said, this is a strong wide receiver class. Like to me, if you like these guys, I don't think you're going to say, you know, maybe you don't take one a day, but you know, second day, even early on the third day, you have these additional picks. If you can get a receiver that you think is a high end guy, I think you draft him and you figure the rest out later. So to me, they shouldn't overlook the opportunity to add to this group, because all it takes, as we've seen many, many times, is one injury or one guy disappointing and you're digging deep again. So, you know, it does depend somewhat on how you're intending to use Pitts and Warner. It's not going to be a lot of two tight end sets. I don't think we're going to see that. Mm-hmm. That was an Arthur Smith special. It has gone away. So, you know, maybe they'll skate by, but I would tend to believe that they're going to draft another receiver and that they should draft another receiver.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right that we could see Pitts move to more of like a receiver like role, whether that's in the slot or outside or occasionally lined up in line or what have you. But if you do that, that the need is not as big as it might appear. But again, looking at the long-term outlook of this receiving core, it's pretty much all one-year deals other than Drake London and Darnell Mooney now. Darnell Mooney does obviously give them another piece, but you're going to have to pay London about the same time that Mooney's contract becomes untenably expensive. And what that means to me is that you want someone on a rookie contract in here to be your wide receiver too. You can't really afford to have two or three. You can have two expensive receivers. You can't have three. So I think this would be the time, I think, to go after that good high upside guy on day two. You know, they've got 2/3. They've got that second. I think you could just sort of wait and see what happens. You know, if one of those first round caliber guys falls to 43, maybe you do take a swing there. You know, maybe if Ladd McConkey falls, obviously you'd think they would love him, you know, in that slot role and stuff like that. But if the value's not great, pivot and go with one of the third round picks where you know there's going to be a number of good receivers available still. And I think it would be foolish not to get somebody in this class, whether that's at 8. And again, I know people are like, oh, the need at edge is great. The need at edge has been great for as long as I can remember, and they haven't really drafted it in the first round. I don't think Fontenot drafting best player available was really Arthur Smith. I mean, maybe the exact players they chose had a lot to do with Arthur Smith, but I think this is still a best player available type of team. Whether you like it or not, I think that's kind of who they are. And I think that there's a decent chance that both Adunze and Malik Nabers are better or higher on their board than the edge rushers. And I wouldn't be shocked if they go that route. But if you're talking about needs, I think it's pretty clear that edge is the biggest need. And we'll definitely talk about that in a second as well. But I do want to read a question from DJ Stud, 1987. Love the name with the $5. Thank you, DJ. He said, for the run game to take the next step, hitting the deep ball is very important. Something that I think Russell Wilson is still great at. Considering Kirk Cousins' playoff record, I feel we had a better chance of making a run in the next 2 years with Russ. Not sure why they didn't go after the cheaper, lower risk option. Russ versus Kirk is definitely a debate. And Russ is, again, a unique situation because he is so cheap for the team acquiring him this year. And like, again, you guys know I scout quarterbacks off vibes. Like, I'm not a quarterback expert. I know what I'm looking at, but I'm not really a quarterback scout. You know, I can't tell you exactly the footwork or the mechanics or whatever, but going off of the guys that I trust, you know, talking to guys like Derek Klassen and all that, Russell Wilson's advanced stats and a lot of the markers you look at for quarterback play, they were very low last year. That he's clearly on a decline in his career. He's not a bad quarterback, but I think Russell Wilson is like a passable starter at this point. And I do feel that, and I hate quarterback wins. Matt Stafford was a playoff choker until he won the Super Bowl. Now, I know you might say like, oh, don't compare Kirk Cousins to Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's a lot closer to Kirk Cousins right now than Russell Wilson is to Matt Stafford. So again, we're not trying to generalize here, but I don't think Russ is moving the needle for you. I think he's a very good, like, 1 year stopgap. But that's the other side of the coin, is that with Russ, you're getting him for 1 year, and then you're going to have to make a decision on whether you give him a big extension or he doesn't work out or what have you. So to me, I think that the best chance to win was definitely Kirk Cousins. I think Russell Wilson was going to be better than what the Falcons had last year, but how much better, I don't know. But I mean, you could make an argument that they could have spent that money maybe a little bit differently and brought in some different pieces, and maybe that would make a difference. But to me, I think Kirk Cousins gets a lot of hate. And I've, you know, perpetuated it, like, oh, primetime Cousins, he's not very good, whatever. But I think people made up their minds on Cousins like a few years back and have kind of not really believed that he's like continued to get better every year, and are also blaming the Vikings' problems all on him. The Vikings 2 years ago, when they won 13 games, was entirely Kirk Cousins and the offense. The defense was absolutely awful. And yeah, they went one and done in the playoffs, but they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL that year. I mean, we've seen this story with the Falcons many times, and Matt Ryan's not a bum, I guarantee you that. So, yeah, I think, to me, it's... I think Kirk Cousins is the best path to winning this year that was available to the Falcons. So that's why they went for it. It's obviously more risky and more cap intensive, but I think that's why they did it. But I'm curious what you think about that debate between someone like Russ and Kirk Cousins, Dave.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had Russell Wilson penciled in for Arthur Smith if he was staying, which at one point I assumed was going to be the case. Just because he's a chaos creator, right? Like, what Russ excels at, and this is fading a little bit, but has always been, the play starts to break down, things are taking a little too long, and he is going to find a way to punish you for that. And he's been a wizard at that for a long time. But what this particular coaching staff wants, Russell Wilson doesn't really provide. Can you work effectively over the middle of the field? Can you consistently deliver on-time balls? You know, can you avoid running into a sack when the play starts to break down, which is something that Wilson, you know, has started to get away from. So to me, you know, if it was a one-to-one, if you were looking at two quarterbacks who are very similar in their skills and where they're at in their careers and everything, and you could save that much money, of course you would want to save that much money, take Russell Wilson, spend that money elsewhere. But we're not talking about the same guys. We're not talking about the same coaching staffs. Like, Arthur Smith, I'm sure, is thrilled to have him in Pittsburgh to run Arthur Smith's offense. Zach Robinson was not going to be interested in having him run Zach Robinson's offense here in Atlanta. It's just, to me, it's an apples and oranges type of thing. And that's not a knock on Russ. I wrote an article toward the end of the year, again, when I thought Arthur Smith was still going to be here, saying we shouldn't dismiss that possibility because of the kinds of things that he still does well. He's still really dangerous in the red zone. He can still make plays out of structure. He's still a player who doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot, which is something that Cousins doesn't do a ton of either, but he tends to do it at the worst possible time. We'll see. But to me, you know, the Falcons paid up for this, because not just because they thought Cousins was the best quarterback on the market, but because he was a really good fit for what Zach Robinson wants in a quarterback. And he basically came out and told us what that was. And a large part of that is get the ball out on time, have it be accurate. And that's what this offense is going to be predicated on. So that's why they had to get Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with all of that. I think, again, you look at what happened too, like, if the Denver Broncos thought Russell Wilson was a good quarterback, they wouldn't have taken one of the biggest dead cap hits in NFL history to get him off the team. So, I mean, obviously he's not worth his contract, but still, like, I think everyone should remember that the Broncos were desperate to get away from Russell Wilson, which I don't know that that's entirely fair to Russell Wilson. We all know Sean Payton's kind of a weird guy, but don't forget that. But Jordan Watkins joining us. I know Jordan had a break in his schedule, so he's hopping in. Jordan, how we doing?
I'm back from the dead. Did you miss me?
I lived. Yeah.
No, things are going good. I'm glad I got to hop on here for a little bit. What's up, everybody in the chat? It's been a while since I've been in here and talked to all of y'all, so I hope everyone's good. No, I'm happy because it sounds like, you know, we're talking about Kirk and Russ, and look, I've been on record of, you know, if you were asking me which of the two I wanted in the first place, I would have picked Russ because one, he was going to be cheaper, right? Because Denver's got to pay, you know, so much of his money. But then also, again, it was just more so the injury thing with Kirk. It never was Kirk's ability by its own, right? It was just, all right, 36 off an Achilles. Let's see how this goes. But if you look at his ability, again, think about when he got hurt last year, the level that he was playing at, right? And that's something we haven't seen, especially the last 2 years in Atlanta, to say the least. So it was just, I mean, off that alone, I was really good. Plus, I think that you think of the throws that Kirk can make, he likes to make, and then, you know, they complemented that well with some of the receivers they've already brought in, right? Like, Kirk will love to air the ball out. You bring in Darnell Mooney, who I believe I saw the stat, it was like 40% of the balls that were deep balls in last year were off target. Who was his quarterback again? But, you know, it's just one of those things where they already, you see how they are catering this to what works with Kirk. And so, I'm excited to see what this offense looks like next year.
Yeah. And I think, again, you look at who they brought in at offensive coordinator and Zach Robinson, and I think that's a big part of the equation too, because if you're going to go for this win now window, which we believe that they are at this point, getting Kirk in an offense that he was going to be able to hit the ground running in, especially if he has a limited training camp coming off the injury, was going to be key to the Falcons competing this year and competing immediately. And it's basically the same exact offense. Now, there's going to be some tweaks, I'm sure, but Kevin O'Connell's offense, Sean McVay's offense, basically, other than some minor things, and I'm sure we'll see some of those as well, very similar. The terminology is going to be similar. The route combinations are going to be similar. Cousins is going to be immediately comfortable here. He's not going to need a huge ramp up time or anything like that. So with that in mind, it made a lot more sense to go the Cousins route. But I agree with you. The big question is Cousins going to be healthy? And we just don't know at this stage. But you have to think the Falcons are pretty confident if they're giving him that money, 2 years fully guaranteed. So we'll just hope the Falcons are right. that's all we can do at this point. The contract's been signed, the T's have been crossed, and the I's have been dotted and all that, so we're just gonna have to hope for the best there. But Jordan, I know you didn't get in on the early part of this conversation, so just curious what you think about the wide receiver additions along with Kirk Cousins. How do you feel about this offense?
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
No, like I said, I'm excited about it. You look at, again, this is an offensive line group that, you know, I think is one of the best in the league, right? So, boom, check that off. You think about where we were going in, where we were going into free agency in the wide receiver room. And, you know, again, I'm adding Kyle Pitts into that because especially with Zach Robinson, runs a lot of 11 personnel. wouldn't surprise me that it'll technically be 12 if you want to count Kyle as a tight end, but I think he'll be more out, you know, away from the line of scrimmage because you bring in Charlie Warner, which I think was a great signing to really work on that inline blocking, you know, and he comes from a scheme, I mean, a zone scheme, similar to, guess what? Everyone comes from that same tree, right? So I thought that was a really good signing. And then, of course, the way that you bring in Darnell Mooney, and it makes sense because he has relationships in that building already with Ryan Pace, who drafted him in Chicago. And it gives you that vertical threat that, you know, again, like I said, it really does work with what Kirk likes to do and can do. And then you bring in another shifty gadget guy, right, with Rondale Moore. I mean, we've seen him line up all over the place, whether it's in the backfield, slot, you know, as like a Z type of guy. So, I mean, already you go from really just having Kyle and Drake to now having all these more options. And I think what makes it more fun is I think it solidifies even more just right now, right, what you're going to do with the draft. I think first round now, at least what I would do, it's either edge or corner, right? That's what it goes down to. Now, of course, if you get Hassan Reddick, that kind of nails it down even more. But we'll see if Howie Roseman's still going to, you know, be just going back crazy with the trade expectations. But I think the fact that you narrowed it down even for the draft, I think that is something that can be beneficial just in ease, like making that thought process that much easier.
Yeah, I agree. And like, even I like the clarity that it gives, because I agree with everyone in the chat that says like wide receiver is really not a priority at 8. And you're right. It's not, you know, I think if you look at the raw like value of the board, you know, maybe Adunze Neighbors are ahead of the edge rushers, but the need is obviously greatest at edge. But I think now what this also does is there's three good edge rushers in this class that I think are all in consideration. Dallas Turner, obviously his stock has gone sky high with his workout, which was very good as expected. But when you see it and you see the arm length, that was the big thing for me. I did not realize that man had 34.5-inch arms. That's pretty nuts. But, you've got him, you've got Jared Verse, who I'm on record as just loving and have loved for over a year. I wish he would have come out last year. He would have been a Falcon. But yeah, and then Laiatu Latu also, I think, is he tested out better than people thought. I think he's absolutely in the mix for the top 15 as well. So I think the chances of one of those receivers falling to 8 was already kind of low given the team's picking ahead of the Falcons. But now if one does, you have the option still of taking them if you really love the one that falls. I think Neighbors to me would be the one that I'd be like, I'm gonna have a really hard time passing this up. But you know, now you have the option to potentially trade back to a number of really wide receiver needy teams behind you. Even the Bears might be wanting to just do a pick swap, and still getting one of the top three edge rushers without question. Like if you trade down to, you know, 12 or what have you, you know, you could still get Verse, Latu, or Turner and not have to worry about it. So it gives them a lot of options, and I love options. But curious, Dave, first of all, we've seen all the moves that they have made. There's a lot of moves that they haven't made yet, and Jordan brought it up. You know, Hassan Reddick, that seems to be where the buzz is going, that the Falcons are interested in him, and they do seem to be holding their other moves for something. So I don't know if it's Reddick. I suspect it's something big that's potentially going down, but where do you think that they're still going to add in free agency, and what do you think are the biggest remaining needs for the Falcons, Dave?
Yeah, I think you can't let this offseason go by, and I don't think they will, holding pattern or no, without adding another edge or two. And I do think that, you know, the calculus has changed a little bit here, where D'Angelo Malone was basically mothballed last year, barely played. You know, new regime in town, maybe that changes. You know, Ebiketie is a good player. You know what he can give you. And I still think this is a team that will use Lorenzo Carter. So it's not that the cupboard is entirely bare there, but I think we all know that this team has lacked an impact edge rusher forever. You know, you've had one or two good years from Tack McKinley. You've had, an Adrian Claiborne went nuts here, a Vic Beasley went nuts here, but it really has been since John Abraham that you've had a guy that consistently was an impact player. And you have a chance, you know, to Jordan's point, to add one of those guys, you know, here in the first round. So I think that absolutely happens. But even if they're planning to draft a guy at 8, I think the Reddick buzz is probably legitimate. We know they've been in on these guys. We know that they tried to get Hunter. We know they tried to trade for Sweat. So I think they know how acute the need is. So even if they aren't really interested in Reddick and this is something else, or they strike out on him, you got to go get that. So
yeah,
I expect that to happen. You know, even if it's just Bud Dupree again, I like Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree did well.
He was okay.
Last year.
He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. And you know, fine is a lot better than we've gotten at other times.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. And I think, you know, the other need is, to me, I would not prioritize corner maybe the way that others would. I am a huge Clark Phillips fan. I think Clark Phillips and D. Alford give you a really good 2-3 option. I know some people might disagree with that, but I think this regime is going to be inclined to give these young promising players, you know, the opportunity to seize these jobs. So I don't think you can go without adding to corner at all, adding competition potentially, but I view getting that safety as a big need. This is a flooded safety market. I know that, you know, nobody's come out and like set what the contract is going to be kind of across the board because there are so many guys out there and they're waiting on that. But to me, as much as I like DeMarco Helms, as much as I still think Richie Grant with a new coaching staff can be a better player and a more useful player for this team, and I think he can be, the opportunity to get a high-end starter and turn that into a huge strength for your team and really kind of have Helms and Grant as, you know, mix and match situational third safeties, that's really appealing to me. So I think, given the state of the market, that they're going to get in on it, and I hope they do. So to me, if you grab, you know, at least a pretty good edge rusher, preferably better than that ahead of the draft, you add some competition at corner and you add a starter at safety, you've done what you need to do, besides filling in the edges, which you always have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It seems like there's been reporting that they've been in on edge. They've missed, unfortunately, you know, with Danielle Hunter wanting to go back to Houston. And it seems like they were interested potentially in going after some other big free agent guys if Kirk Cousins hadn't materialized. But, you know, Hassan Reddick is kind of the last big one out there. And if the reporting is to be believed, you know, the Eagles want a first round pick that they're not going to get for him. So it really just depends on how stubborn they want to be with that. I don't think they're ever going to get that for him. He's 30. And I know a lot of Eagles fans are like, oh, he had more sacks than Brian Burns. He's 5 years older than Brian Burns. Like, maybe that doesn't matter so much for a team in a win now window, but like it matters to GMs. You know, this is not going to be a franchise cornerstone guy. This is a one to, you know, a few year rental type of player. He's not going to fetch a first. So, you know, the Eagles may try to slow play that, but they're going to find this because the suitors are going to dry up for that move because the draft's going to happen and people are going to spend their money and they have to not only trade for him, they have to take on a lot of money. I think it's like $16 million this year, and then extend him at this $25 million a year number he wants. So they're going to have to, you know, make a deal sooner or later if they want to move him, or maybe they don't want to move him. But they're not going to be able to sit around forever, and it really just depends on how patient the Falcons want to be because, again, like you said, they don't want to sit back and wait for everyone to be gone because if they don't get Hassan Reddick, they're going to want to go get some other guys instead. Maybe that's Calais Campbell or, you know, Yannick Ngakoue is still out there and he definitely is better fit for this defense than he would have been for the previous one. Carl Lawson, he's coming off injury, but intriguing. You know, there's other guys out there that they could potentially look into. So we'll have to see what happens there. But yeah, Jordan, I'm curious now that you've seen the first wave of moves, where do you think they're going to target next in terms of free agency in the draft?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's about four places I know for sure in the draft I think they're going to go. And I'm not saying, again, like I said, I think it's going to be one of those defensive positions in the first round. Then day two, maybe that's where you go another receiver, right? That's where you kind of start looking there. I don't think, at least I don't remember if this is like a deep tackle draft, because I know eventually we got to start talking about who's going to be there for, you know, Jake. Like, how long is he going to still be, you know, an above average left tackle in this league, right? Then of course there's a whole Caleb McGarry situation. However you want to look at it. One thing too, is I know you're talking about safety in the, in free agency. One place I'd look too, depending on where, and I'd had to look at the mocks again, but one guy I love, and of course I watched him out here, is Cole Bishop at Utah. So depending where you can get him. And of course we already see what a Utah DB looks like, right? With Clark Phillips. And I mean, I'm telling you, the way Morgan Scalley and Cal Whittingham have those guys ready each year in a year in and year out. Plus, he was more athletic, right, at the combine than what I expected him to be. Like, I did not expect him to be like that. So I think those are the four places, and of course, corner that I would expect them to look in the draft. Now, of course, what they do in free agency kind of depends on what order I say you go after it. But I think that, again, with free agency, I think for at least right now, they might be done looking at receiver. Because, you know, one person I didn't even talk about, and that's more so because I look at him as a return guy than I do as a true receiver, is Ray McCloud. But he can fill in certain places, be a screen guy for you too if need be. He made a tough catch over the middle in the Super Bowl. So I think for free agency, they're kind of done looking there. Again, I think it's either you go for the big splash at edge, right, which is Hassan Reddick, if you can get him. Or if not, maybe you get some more just rotational guys, right? Because I think what we saw last year is you cannot have enough depth at the defensive line, you know, once we kind of got to the latter part of that season and had all those injuries.
Yeah. To me, it's like I think people are worried that they're done, and they're not done. I think they're working to see if they can materialize this Reddick trade or maybe another big move. And if that doesn't work, we're probably going to see a flurry of smaller deals. But yeah, I mean, everyone's talked about Akello Witherspoon. I think you bring him in, you feel pretty good about the cornerback room. I mean, he wasn't like a high-end starter, but he was absolutely a fine starter for the Rams last year. He played almost 100% of the snaps for them. John Johnson, you know, obviously not playing like his peak, but a guy that we know Raheem has raved about in the past as a guy that he loved to coach and shouldn't be prohibitively expensive either. To get another good safety in here that's not too expensive. You know, we could see them maybe go after a veteran nose tackle if they don't want to prioritize that in the draft. That won't be crazy expensive either. So they can, they're going to work on some of these moves. I don't think we're going to go into the draft with all of these holes still here, but you know, I do agree with you that they're probably done at receiver unless someone breaks free or something happens where they're like, oh yeah, well, we'll take this guy in. But, I'm definitely curious to see what the move is going to be, because I think if they are able to get Hassan, like if you do get like Hassan Reddick and Jared Verse, or like Hassan and Dallas Turner or Laiatu in here, that's like a totally new and like much more dangerous defensive line, because you add those two guys to the interior that they're assembling. And this is like all of a sudden like, oh, this is scary now. Like this was scary bad to scary good overnight. So I would be very excited about that. I hope they could still pull it off, but we got a long way to go. We'll see if the Eagles want to come down from that price, but if not, you know, the Falcons aren't going to pay it, so maybe someone will. But that's one thing that Fontenot, to his credit, I think has done, is he has not overpaid in terms of trade value, in terms of contract value. He's very conscientious of that, and it gets harder and harder. The closer you are to that winning window and that Super Bowl, the harder it is to stay true to that tenet of like, we're not going to make a bad deal here. Because you're just thinking like, well, if I just get this guy, I just got to make it happen. And we'll see, you know, eventually they may have to stretch the books. They may have to stretch their draft assets as far as they can to try to get this done. I think they're probably not going to go super hard this year because, again, we don't know how healthy Kirk is going to be. We don't know how long it's going to take this offense to come online. Next year is probably the, like, we're going all in year if Kirk is playing well and that sort of thing. But definitely curious to see another, and I like your idea about drafting a safety too. I think that makes a lot of sense given how much money they have tied up in Jesse Bates. A guy that I hadn't really heard of prior to the combine was Dadrian Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech. I know Lance Zierlein absolutely loves him, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to look this guy. He's very intriguing as like a day two safety. I think he would be perfect, like super instinctual, good athlete, like checks all the boxes for that number two safety next to Jesse Bates. He would be someone I'm interested in as well. And he has one of the longest names, I think, in the draft, which I always love seeing them like have to go to the smaller font on the jersey to like fit it on there. So I would enjoy that just for the jersey level.
But they're going to start curving it like the new baseball jersey too. That's how it's going to look.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hopefully it looks better than that, but I'm excited. I think it's a great draft class, especially at wide receiver. And we're going to see this team have an opportunity to continue to improve in free agency and the draft. And we got a long way to go. A lot more draft content in particular coming over the next few weeks. But real quick, let me get to Michael Scott's donation here with the $5. Thanks, Michael. How you doing, man? He says, hear me out. What if we already have our number two wide receiver and it's Kyle Pitts? take, you know, put Pitts in that role, and then we go to Brock Bowers at 8. Okay, Michael, you officially lost me. Maybe if Arthur Smith was here, this would be possible.
How many passes do you think that that Brock Bowers would have if he was in here?
Oh my gosh. I mean, not enough. Not enough to justify the 8th overall pick, I can tell you that. You know, he'd probably have a very high target share. It just wouldn't be enough passes to matter, unfortunately. But yeah, no. You have
me in the
first half.
I meant,
Michael,
how many times is he going to throw the ball passes? That's what I'm saying.
Over under one time a game. Yeah. You have me in the first half, Michael, not going to lie, but yeah. But no, that I love Brock Bowers, probably not coming to Atlanta. I think we can be pretty confident in that. There's no sure things in the draft, but I think that's one of the things we can be more sure of, is that Brock Bowers probably not coming to Atlanta. But before we sign off, want to give everyone an opportunity to get their final takes off. Dave, anything else you want to add about this free agent class? Anything else going on that you want to let people know about?
No, I just think, you know, you've gone and done a good job of putting yourself in a position where you don't have any outstanding holes on offense. Like, could I feel better about the offensive line depth than I do today? Sure. Do I know who's going to be the third running back? No, not really. Maybe it's, you know, Rondale Moore and Avery Williams at this point. I don't know. But I think offensively they're in a really good spot. And I think remembering Terry Fontenot's track record, it's going to pay to be patient, because they're going to do the same thing with the defense. There's not going to be some big outstanding hole the way it feels like there is now by the time we get to the draft. So, you know, just wait a little bit and see what happens next. In terms of anything that I'd like to plug, tomorrow morning, I know that Kevin, you're part of a roundtable with Alan going over some of the biggest moves of the offseason. So that's always a good read. I always enjoy that, and I think you will too. And I think we're going to get to the point where we're ramping up draft coverage pretty soon, because it's right around the corner and the biggest free agency moves are probably done, barring a Reddick trade or another surprise splash. So stay tuned for what I always consider the most fun part of the year.
Yeah.
At least besides when the Falcons are winning, which we haven't
hasn't
seen
happened
in a while.
Much. So yeah. Draft is all we have. Yeah. It's all we have, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But what's up, Big Low Country? Welcome in, man. I appreciate you joining us tonight. I hope you're doing well. And then we also got George Costanza with the $2. Says, my draft pick is Joe Alt. I don't care about wide receiver. If Alt is there, take him. I know I said Evan Neal last time, but let me be wrong just this once. Okay, that's fine. You know, it's fair. It's fair. Oh, yeah, yeah. And also, we're going to be doing the NFL Shop gift card giveaway during the draft show. George Costanza is going to be hooking us up with some NFL Shop cards to give away during the live show once again. So shout out to George for his generosity and keeping those shows exciting, and also hooking up some very loyal Falcons fans and viewers with some sweet merch. So thanks to George for that as well. And, yeah, I mean, I would not hate Joel. It's very, like, non-traditional. But I mean, if you have the chance to take a franchise tackle, I mean, look, you can't be mad at that. Like, Joe Alt is absolutely a franchise left tackle. I really don't think he gets to 8 because of that. Like, I think people are kind of sleeping on that, like, that someone's just going to take him because, again, he's a franchise left tackle. But if he falls, I think you just make a way, like you find a way to accommodate him. And whether that's trading Jake or trading, you probably try to move on from McGarry, maybe make, I mean, McGarry's probably gone next year no matter what, considering the cap savings. But you get Alt in here. You have Alt play right tackle. McGarry is your swing tackle. You make it work. You know, you have that good depth. I mean, it's obviously not ideal, but Jake is not that old. I don't know where people get this idea that Jake is like an old man. Like, you know, Jake is like my age. Okay, I'm not that old. So he's not like 2 feet. He's not like a foot into the retirement door, but yes, people wondering how long he'll be able to play at like a super high level. That's fair. But I do think that that's less likely. And I think it's more likely if Alt is there, the Falcons will probably trade down to someone trying to get Alt, because there will be people that want Joe Alt. But Jordan, anything else you want to add to the discussion? Anything else on the free agency class before we wrap up tonight?
I would just say this, Kevin, because you talked about, you know, Jake not being old, and I was thinking about, like, here I am at 30 and my knees just started hurting. So even thinking about someone being old, those football, you know how they say dog years are like times what, 7?
Yeah.
offensive, I mean, well, line of scrimmage years, that's got to be at least times 15. I mean,
yeah,
that's what it feels like.
It's hardcore.
So,
yeah.
But I mean, look, if you did want to look at an offensive tackle at eight, I mean, it wouldn't be, I mean, the last time you picked an offensive tackle that high up that had NFL legacy in his family kind of worked out for you. So, no, I could see that making sense. I just think that, you know, at least where they are right now, and when you look at the glaring, like, these are the two positions that you really need to focus on and work on, I think that's why they look there first. But yeah, in terms of free agency, look, I think that with the power structure that we have right now, this is the most comfortable I've felt as a Falcons fan in a long time with the people that are making the decisions. You know, even when they swing and miss on guys, it feels like they have a strategy and a plan. Like, okay, this person didn't work, now let's go here. This person didn't work, now let's go here. And even if you don't get the guys, well, here's the offer that they made, right? Saw that with Montez Sweat during the season last year. They made an offer to Danielle Hunter, and you lose out to his hometown. No income tax. It's hard to beat, you know? So it just feels like between what Terry wants to do, what Raheem's doing, and just everybody right now, it's the most comfortable and confident I've felt in a decision-making process overall than I have in years.
Yeah. No, I agree. And the process, I think, has been correct. I think despite the aggressiveness to get Kirk Cousins, they haven't, like, panicked and done a lot of stuff that teams going into this win now window for the first time have done. I don't think they overpaid for any free agents. I don't think they went out and did anything crazy. I know fans would probably wish they'd been a little more crazy for the edge rushers, but being responsible with your picks and with your cap usually pays off in the long run, but you do eventually have to get there. So I have confidence in this group. I think the plan that they're showing makes sense. I think we've still got work to do, obviously, but I do like what we've seen so far, and I think it's we got a very fun offseason ahead of us still. I think the draft is going to be illuminating, and I think while we got a long way to go, I'm excited to see what we have, and I think it's going to be good. I would encourage you to try to relax and not believe that the Falcons are just done because, you know, the first wave of free agency is over. Terry has always been a guy that's been active through the draft, through June, through May, signing guys, looking for cuts. Like, they're going to be turning over stones, and I guarantee you they're talking to tons of guys. They're constantly talking to tons of free agents. It's not like they're just sitting there huddled around the computer waiting for the Eagles to text them back, like, about Hassan Reddick. Like, they're not doing that. They've got contingencies. They've got plans. Like, there's lots of stuff happening. We'll have to see, obviously, if anything comes of Hassan Reddick, or maybe it's somebody else that we're not expecting, what have you. But they're not done, and we got a long way to go. So don't look at the roster as a completely finished product at this time, and try to instead look at, like, okay, why are they not making big moves? Why are they holding on to all their money? Because, again, and I haven't mentioned it yet, but, like, they have not even begun to create cap space. They cut Jonnu Smith. That was the only move they've made to free up cap space. They have not exhausted any of their avenues. They have not exhausted any avenues to create cap space. They have many contracts they could restructure. They have multiple cuts they could make. They could get 30, 40, probably even 50 million without too much trouble. Now, again, you're not creating money out of thin air. You're either moving on from players or you're pushing money forward, but, like, the option is there. They can do this. And going into this 2-year window with Cousins, you have to think they're going to be relatively aggressive. So they may decide to sort of hold the money and use it next year for this all-in year, or maybe they use it later this year when players they like come available. You can make trades after the draft is over. You can make trades during the season. So just try to stay patient, even though this is an exciting time. Don't think that they're just sitting on their hands and thinking they've done enough. Terry Fondo doesn't strike me as a guy that ever feels like he's done enough. And I think I love the way they're always churning the roster during the season. They're always, like, signing guys to compete. They're always having guys in for visits. That's the kind of mindset they have now still. And this weird feeling I have, it's confidence in the team. And I had it last year, and that didn't work out super well. So that does make me a little uncomfortable. But
at Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy.
It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, we're just going to hope for the best. I'm choosing to be optimistic again. There's no question about it. I'm ready to be heard again. So thank you all for joining us. Appreciate Dave Choate at the Falcoholic himself and Jordan Watkins at Big 75 Fella making a return cameo appearance. We'll definitely be sure to hear from Jordan as often as we're able. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in with us tonight. Please like, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, of course. Check out the channel memberships. We're going to be running a live mock draft for our channel members and patrons. I think it's going to be next week. If not, it'll be the week after, but stay tuned there. I'll make an announcement probably on Friday's show or Monday's show about when that's going to be. It's going to be the first one. We will have non-exclusive live mock drafts too, but the first one is for the members. And yeah, we're going to be full on into draft season here. So get ready for that. Lots of fun stuff coming. Lots of scouting reports going to be coming on the Falcoholic. I'll be handling SB Nation's prospect rankings for edge and defensive tackle again this year. So looking forward to that, diving into that stuff as well. And looking forward maybe to the Falcons actually getting a couple of edge rushers this year also. That would be nice too if all of my scouting work could pay off this time. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate Jordan and Dave once again for coming on. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic. Kevin, we will see you next time on the Falcoholic Live. Again, thanks to BetOnline for sponsoring tonight's episode. Thanks again, guys. We'll see you. I'll have a mock draft coming, non-live, but a new mock draft coming on Friday as well. So stay tuned for that, both on the site and here on the channel. Until then, guys, have a great night. We'll see you next time on the Falcoholic Live. See you, folks.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Betty's.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.